Welcome, welcome, welcome to another You Inside Another Advisor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. Got Parker Thune, Spencer Forsyth on the board. My name is Brandon Drum. Lots going on, as you all know. Oklahoma hired a new running back coach, supplanting for DeMarco Murray. DeLon McCullough, former Raiders / Notre Dame / Indiana / Kansas City Chiefs running back coach. Tons and tons of production, tons and tons of development throughout his career, and we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk recruiting. We're going to answer your Q&As as far as Super Chat goes, and we're going to do a whole lot more on this YouTube Live. But before we do all that, first we need to thank our sponsors.
Yes, we do, folks. And if any of y'all beef about these ad reads in the chat, we will throw down. Uh-oh. It's about to be 90 seconds of ads. Then you will get an hour of uninterrupted OU football and recruiting talk. So with that said, our presenting sponsor is Riverwind Casino. Riverwind has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks as well to Janna King, a proud partner of OU Athletics and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to jannaking.com. And finally, a word from Hollow Socks. Folks, if you spend time outdoors in particular, or you just like being comfortable at home in those cold winter months, you need to get you a pair of Hollow Socks. These are alpaca socks built for the field. Performance grade socks made from ultra soft baby alpaca fibers. They're engineered for rugged conditions and designed to keep your feet dry, warm, and comfortable no matter where the day takes you. And because they are made from those alpaca fibers, they're the only socks that will keep your feet warm when it's below freezing and then cooled off when it gets hot outside. They feel amazing, got a reinforced heel and toe. They're lightweight, supportive, unbelievably soft, and they'll still feel fresh hours later once you put them on. Made in the USA, over 2 million pairs sold. Once you wear Hollow, you will never go back to wool or cotton socks ever again. Now, for a limited time, Hollow Socks is having a buy two, get two free sale. So head to hollowsocks.com today to check it out. That's hollowsocks.com for up to 50% off your order after you purchase. They will ask you where you heard about them. You can support our show by telling them that we sent you. And throughout the show tonight, as many of you know, if you're a regular here on OU Insider Live, you got a question that you just have to have answered, send it to us via Super Chat on YouTube. We make you the guarantee every single week that we will tackle every single Super Chat, no matter the contribution, by the end of the show. Looks like we already have one from Cole Birdwell. So let's get started there, Brandon, before we talk DeLon McCullough. Cole Birdwell says, trying to get my daughter to sleep, so I may miss a large part of the show. As always, next three commits. Bless y'all. What do you think? So we know as of today, you know, the one thing that had kind of been hanging in the balance, we weren't really sure what the timeline was going to be. Zane Rowe is committing on March 13th. That is happening. Now, that falls after Oklahoma's Junior Day, Future Freaks on March 7th. So with that in mind, Brandon, I'll give you the first crack at this one. Next three commits, who do you think they are?
Zane Rowe, obviously. I'll go Zane Rowe. Jameson Roberts and there is a part of me that feels like Bodie Sparrow might pop into the fold. It's something to watch. So I'll go out on a limb and say Bodie Sparrow.
Hello. Okay. Here's my three. I think these all pop quickly after March 7th at this rate. Perhaps even on March 7th.
I know when you're going to go with it. I didn't, but go ahead.
Jalen Scott. Jameson Roberts. The two Alabama kids, two Mobile area kids. And then for my third, how about Tyson Ross, offensive lineman out of Wichita, Kansas, Andover High School.
That was the one I didn't expect. The Jalen Scott was the one I assumed you were going to go with. But yeah. Yeah,
it should be a busy
Tyson
month
Ross
of March
is
as
interesting.
Far as
yeah, interesting.
Commitments go.
Yeah, very interesting. I feel like there's going to be another one out there on the O-line that I think may – he says he's going to take visits. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Corsair.
Yeah, I guess. He has well intentions to take visits.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Gabe Osborne, well intentioned to take all these visits. There's a part of me that thinks Lamar Morgan will get in there and potentially shut that down. I know that Gabe Osborne was the first call he made. So that was like, he got it. Boom. Already made the call. So, yeah. Interesting. Nonetheless, I still think that this class ends up being in the top three or four when it's all said and done. It's going to be really hard to remove them. They were – Parker, were you shocked they were able to hold on to everybody despite the coaching changes? Because normally you would see – and does this not show how much this changed because of the front office?
Well, I mean, to be clear, both these hires are very, very fresh. So I would caution against –
But normally it's happened by now. Like, the commits of one or two have always happened within
a
week or two.
I think especially given the juncture of the calendar that we're at, I think it's very – like, if you see a decommitment as a byproduct of these coaching changes, I think it would come in the – I think it would come 3 to 4 weeks down the line.
Okay.
I think it would come a little ways into the future because I think all these kids and their representation and their family, their parents – these guys that have made the commitment to Oklahoma, they're smart enough to understand two things. One, it's not as if their future position coach got fired or left on very acrimonious terms with the school.
Right.
He took a job in the NFL, and that speaks volumes for him, and it speaks volumes for the school. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, I think there's an understanding that, you know, I'm committed to a blue blood school. This is Oklahoma we're talking about. Oklahoma is probably going to be able to find somebody just as qualified and just as accomplished for that same role. And if they don't, I'll build a relationship with him. I'll get to know him. If I decide I don't like him, and even if he is accomplished and qualified and I still just don't feel the vibe with him, then I decommit, reopen my recruitment, examine my options. But I'm not surprised that Oklahoma has been able to hold on to everybody at this point. Like, to me, the one that's going to be worth watching the closest is Micah Rhodes, just because he is so far out from signing. He's got a year and 10 months before he has to sign the dotted line, and he has no relationship with Dylan McCullough. Loves what he sees on paper, loves the resume. How can you not? But it's a little bit different once you get to having conversations with the guy and trying to decide, okay, is this not only a guy that I want to learn from as a football player, but a guy that I want to sit in the meeting rooms with for the next 4 years, a guy that I'm going to enjoy my apprenticeship under? Is this somebody that I want to entrust my collegiate future to when there are many other qualified running backs coaches across the country, highly regarded running backs coaches across the country that continue to recruit me and to pursue me? So I think, I guess what I'm saying is this. I don't think Oklahoma is entirely out of the woods after the Lamar Morgan hire and the Dylan McCullough hire.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I will add this, that the personality we know of Dylan McCullough, and just from people we've talked to, things we've seen, but whether it be interviews, other recruits that have, and past recruits when in dealing with Notre Dame and Dylan McCullough, it's always been nothing but positives. I would say exemplary would be the way I would put it, like as far as what the feedback we've been given. He throws down that Super Bowl ring. To me, I'm sorry. Like, hey, brother, Jeremiah Love up there, you remember that guy? He was pretty good. I've coached this other guy. He was all right with the Raiders as a rookie, you know, pretty good. Oh, and I have this little ring, my time with the Kansas City Chiefs. Just throw that. If you want to be developed, I might know a little bit about the running back position. I might. But you take it for what it is and just sit back and let whatever happens, happens. I think more good's going to come of that than negative. And I think he's going to fit into the culture at Oklahoma. And I tweeted that, Parker. If there was anybody that was going to understand the culture, what to expect at Oklahoma as far as working for Brent Venables, just the expectation, and granted, being at Notre Dame, the grind of the recruiting, it was going to be Delane McCullough. And I'll make it very clear to everybody. We heard names and names and names. It's something I was told today. Delane McCullough was number one on the board. He was the guy they went after. He was the guy that... If they could pick, they could have got it done the next day, but they didn't because you had Miami, some NFL teams coming after him. There were things going on behind the scenes that made it to where it wasn't just a shoe-in. So they did their due diligence. The other guys that were in on it were exceptional coaches, exceptional running back coaches. Curtis Looper, right? Like, you've seen what he's done in Missouri. He's been phenomenal. What he did at TCU, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Auburn, phenomenal. He's got a national title ring to go with himself. So the options that Oklahoma had, Parker, fantastic. And to land from DeMarco Murray, who Kansas City wanted, who's viewed as one of the best. I know OU fans, you're going to hate to hear this. He's viewed as one of the better running back coaches around. Whether people wanted to believe it or not, it's the truth. To go from that to Delane McCullough, could you not? It couldn't be any better for Oklahoma. And I tweeted out, Parker, the staff on paper might be the best we've seen in how long?
Man, it's a star-studded staff. I think a lot depends on how good Jason Witten actually is. Which
fair. That's fair. That's fair.
It's a pretty safe bet to think he's going to be able to hold his own, right?
Yes.
You tend to think Jason Witten is going to know how to coach tight ends, or he's going to be able to figure it out pretty quick if he doesn't know all that there is to know already. So, man, what an offseason it has been for Oklahoma. You bring in Jason Witten to coach tight ends, which, let's call a spade here. All respect to Joe John Finley. Jason Witten's an upgrade and a pretty substantial upgrade. And I think most would agree with that.
Yes.
Bringing in Lamar Morgan, he's comparable to Jay Vilai in terms of what he's accomplished, his acumen as a recruiter. You look at his last 2 years at Michigan, 7 blue chip defensive back signees, 7, including 3 top 100 players, not 3 top 100 defensive backs, 3 top 100 players in the 2025 cycle.
Yes.
For Lamar Morgan at Michigan. So you have that. And I think there's a strong argument to be made. I don't know how Delane McCullough's tenure at Oklahoma is going to pan out. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you on him being better than or vastly superior to DeMarco Murray. Here's what I do know. There is plenty on Delane McCullough's resume to indicate that there's a very good chance 5 years down the road, whether he's still at Oklahoma or not, we can evaluate his body of work at Oklahoma and conclude that the Sooners got the better end of the deal when DeMarco Murray left and they responded by hiring Delane McCullough to fill his shoes. McCullough has an exceptional resume, Brandon. And there are certain things that get talked about and there are certain things that don't get talked about when we're examining McCullough's resume. The Super Bowl title gets talked about. Certainly. His time at Notre Dame, the Jeremiah Love factor gets talked about. You know what doesn't get talked about as much? The fact that two of his proteges, it's not just Jeremiah Love, two of his proteges, Love and Jadarian Price, could be RB1 and RB2 in this upcoming NFL draft. Those are Dylan McCullough guys. Another thing that doesn't get talked about, he had a 2,000-yard rusher at Indiana in Tevin Coleman, and a guy that played many years in the NFL as well. He spent 1 year at USC in 2017. His lead running back that year, that was a team that won the Rose Bowl, by the way, beat Penn State in the Rose Bowl. His lead running back that year was Ronald Jones, who went on to play in the NFL for several years himself.
Played with the, good in the NFL too,
yeah. Played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, won a Super Bowl with them. I believe he finished up his career with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
In 2017, under the tutelage of Dylan McCullough, Ronald Jones went for 1,550 yards with an average of nearly 6 yards per carry and 19 touchdowns. Give me the guy with that body of work all day long. Because if we're just sticking to what's objective, people have subjective opinions and subjective feelings about everything. But if we're just sticking to what's objective, Dylan McCullough and his resume alone, what he has accomplished as a running backs coach, that list of accomplishments is far lengthier than the guy that he's replacing at Oklahoma. And that's no disrespect to DeMarco Murray. That's just the fact of the matter. Yeah. Dylan McCullough's accomplishments blow away what is on DeMarco Murray's resume. And DeMarco Murray was a pretty dang good running backs coach himself. So this is a magnificent hire for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of the day, one, I think he's going to relate really well with the players. I think it's going to be a seamless transition, Parker. I really do. I think the relationships built during the time that they were recruiting his kids just makes this even better. I truly do. And
it says a lot, doesn't it? That despite the fact that both Dasan and Day transferred and finished their collegiate careers elsewhere, I guess Day's still playing, like the McCullough's collective opinion of Oklahoma is still so high that there are no hard feelings to the point where Dylan is willing, post both of his kids finishing up at Oklahoma, to come work for Brent Venables.
If you're an OU fan, you should be really excited about things. By the way, Jadarian Price, that's a C4 guy right there.
That is a C4 guy.
That is a C4 guy right there. That is a guy that was so underrated coming out. And I remember Cooper just pounding the table for the dude. And he was right. He was right. Price turned out to be a superstar. I think it's going to be fun to see. The evaluations, what I think is going to be fun to see. Like, is he going to evaluate the players that Oklahoma has recruited in 27 when he starts going through the process, looking at 2027 running backs? Is he going to agree on Keldrick Benn, right? Is he going to agree on everybody? Is he going to agree on Micah Rhodes? I don't know, man. Like, I you would assume he is, and he would, because those guys are really good running backs. Just a question, like maybe he had somebody in mind in that class prior to going the 1 year with the Raiders, right, that he would like to get back in touch with in 27, that maybe he can get Oklahoma in good standing with, that maybe Oklahoma liked, and DeMarco Murray just didn't have the relationship there, but the second Dylan McCullough gets in, it's like, bam, let's do this. And it's somebody, maybe Oklahoma, maybe the front office has him higher than who's already committed. I don't know. Like, I'm just throwing these scenarios out there because these are possible scenarios that could happen, Parker. We don't know. We don't know yet. That's what's going to be the fun part about this whole deal. Hey, we do have a super chat from our man, Virgil Walker. It's always a joy to catch you gentlemen live. By the way, Mando is great. Thanks for the recommendation. Sooners fans, check. Drum and Thune fan, check, check. Keep doing what you do, fellas. Boomer. Virgil, we appreciate you, as always. Virgil is man, Virg. Constant. He's always in the super chat. He's always throwing some stuff out there. We love you, dude. Appreciate you, man.
Virgil is also one of the smartest and most thoughtful people I've ever met. And if you're not familiar with his work, you should be, because it's awesome.
Yeah. So he has podcasts, correct?
He does.
Yeah, I think I follow. I think I listen to it pretty regularly, particularly my long drives. If I'm on a long drive and I'm feeling in a learning dad, parental, obviously biblical mood, I throw it on. So love it, love it. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, knowing what we know with DeLon McCullough, what do you think is going to be, if you were going to pit his strength versus DeMarco Murray's strengths, like, what do you think the differences are?
Well, I think the big difference is, you know, people can question DeMarco's development. That's fair when you look at the track record. You can't really question DeLon McCullough's development. It's been spectacular everywhere he's been. And so I think that's the big thing. Like, so many, when DeMarco Murray left, the sentiment from so many folks was, okay, great. Now we can go get somebody who can actually develop running backs. Whether that's fair or not, the guy that fits that bill is DeLon McCullough, without question. He has never not developed running backs. There's not a single season of his career as a running backs coach that you can look at and say, yeah, it's not great. No, it's all great. It's all great. He's always got productive runners. Some years, multiple productive runners. And so I love the idea of entrusting Jonathan Hatton and Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blalock and DeZephon Walker to this guy, and seeing the way that that backfield committee shakes out, and seeing who seizes the bull by the horns too. Because as we've seen in McCullough's past, he's not opposed to rolling with a bell cow. He's not opposed to taking a by-committee approach. It's just a matter of whatever's best for the offense, whatever's best for the backfield, what does the personnel lend itself to? And so that's, I think, an intriguing point of curiosity heading into 2026. By the way, a listener by the name of C-T-U-H-L tosses $5 and said, thoughts on Nagy potentially leaving for Michigan? Please say it ain't so. It ain't so.
It ain't so.
They are hiring a general manager. It is not Jim Nagy. So you are safe.
And it wouldn't have been. I'll just say that. I'll leave that alone. Did some due diligence on that. Not to say that Michigan didn't try. Just saying, Nagy, from my understanding, very, very happy building the culture at the University of Oklahoma. Family loves the Oklahoma City area. Just not, like, just moved, and he has kids. I think that is the thing. Like, particularly the kids, his kids, the age that they are, you don't bounce them around like that, notoriously. So that is something of note there. I at the end of the day, though, the second Nagy leaves, I feel pretty confident who the next GM will probably be, if I was to throw it out there. I mean, all you got to do is look at the assistant GM, and they've been grooming and grooming and grooming for a while now. So it's just, but we don't expect Jim to go anywhere for a while. At least now it would Jim's be interesting content. If Notre, yeah, you would, Notre Dame would be interesting as far as like culture. I could see Nagy fitting in the Notre Dame culture. And what Marcus Freeman's doing. I mean, I don't think that's how I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I could see it, but I don't think it's going to happen. So, yeah, no, he's pretty content right now. As far as recruiting goes, Parker, We're waiting on. So there's a halfway decent chance that, and we're still waiting on it. The rosters will be sent out and media credentials for the Under Armour down in Orlando this weekend. So we're trying to find all that out. If that is, going to send Parker. I will be at a big 7-on-7 event in Springfield, Missouri, with lots of talent from Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Oklahoma, some Texas as well. There, it's a quite big, actually. It's one of the bigger first starts for the MOCAN circuit in Springfield. They always have Queen City's always a really big deal. Lots of talent always is out there. Last year, I believe, Caden Jones, Samaj Stanford, Caleb Dillard. I'm trying to think who else was out there. There was a bunch. Presley. Trying to think, Parker. There was a bunch. There was like probably 10 dudes that Oklahoma was interested in out there last year, and they will probably be the same this year. So,
and hopefully I get to make the trip to Orlando, because I will be stopping at PDQ.
You know what? You love that place, like the chicken salad place. Do you really like that place?
It's not chicken salad. What are you talking about?
What is PDQ? It's a
the way I would
how
describe
would you describe it?
The way I would describe it is,
it's very weird.
It is a much, much classier Zaxby's. That's probably the closest comp. It's like Zaxby's, only classier and higher quality.
Do they not say salad on that PDQ? It says chicken and salad, does it not?
I mean, I'm sure they serve salads. Most places do. It's not what it's about, though. Not for me, at least.
No, the chicken's good. But, like, yeah, I just that wasn't on the top of my list of where Parker would stop if that was the case, but.
But I will stop.
Fair enough. Did you watch that OU game, by the way?
Basketball game?
Yeah.
I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't.
It was bad.
I made the calculated decision not to tune in this evening.
Smart.
I felt they were due for a return to Earth. A regression to the mean.
They were due for a BTA.
That's what they got.
They did. It was, you know what? They got it within six. And then it turned out to be pretty bad after that. So, yeah, I don't know. You got the three commits out of the way, but if there was somebody that is surging for Oklahoma right now that you think fans would be surprised about, who do you think it would be in 27? I think it's George Toya, and I've been saying that for a while.
Really?
I've stood by it. Yeah, for like the last, I mean, you've seen it on the last month. I've been saying it. I stand on that. Just everything I've been told. Yes. I think Oklahoma's in better standing than people will give credit for.
See, here's what I'm curious about. Here's something I'm going to be tracking over the next few weeks. Take a look at the linebacker position in the 2027 class. Oklahoma has Taven Epps committed. Taven Epps is a monster. Taven Epps is certifiably, undeniably one of the best linebackers in the entire country. So too is Cooper Witten, who is not yet committed to Oklahoma. However, for obvious reasons, it's going to be really hard for OU to screw that one up. Really hard.
Who is this?
Cooper Witten.
Oh, yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah. So you have those two. You have those two. You feel like those are both guys that are going to sign with Oklahoma in the end. That third linebacker spot, though, it had been reserved for Case Alexander for quite a while.
Yeah, and that's
now it looks like Case Alexander is going to Penn State.
Which isn't shocking.
If Case Alexander does go to Penn State, what's Oklahoma's next move? They slide down the board to a guy that already has an offer. Greg Smith over at Rivals reported earlier this week that Marshawn Ivey from St. Louis is going to visit Oklahoma later this spring. Oklahoma hasn't. Have they landed a St. Louis kid since Ronnie Perkins? Do you have to go back that far? They've had a drought up there.
No. No, they actually haven't. They got close this past season,
And so, here's another thought. What if they made the move for another local kid, a guy like Izzy Hammonds at Choctaw?
That's what I would do. Izzy can ball, man. Or Colton McKibben in Mexico. Maybe. I just don't know how I feel. Like, does he fit the SEC?
Yeah, I don't know how OU feels. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be an intriguing storyline to me because, I mean, it's Brent Venables. It's Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a number of different directions they could go. But it's not as clear, not as crystallized as it was a month ago when it still seemed like, yeah, we're using a pretty good spot for Case Alexander.
Yeah. The Case Alexander thing was, I just don't think it's that shocking. It feels to me that Big Brother was spurned, right? It was eventually offered, right? But it was later. They stayed true with Iowa State, right? Obviously transferred to Penn State now, but it feels like the relationship built with that staff, the trust with that staff, even though it's Stephen Alexander's alma mater is Oklahoma, you're 20 minutes down the road. But I think Church on Family is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to that one. So was that wrong to say? I like JJF because I think he's a good dude, but I think the recruiting part was rough. And like I said, particularly on the recruiting side, the gift that keeps on giving, it just, you're seeing some blowback there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Couple super chats here. Jonna Myrick tossed us $20. Thank you, Jonna. She said, I saw Tori Blaylock's dad tweet that he thinks McCullough is a great hire. Enough said. Yeah, you'd think Derek Blaylock would know, as somebody that played running back at the highest of levels. Jesus Saves 7606. That is our man, Martin Chase.
Yes, sir.
Sent us $10 and asked, fellas, did BV get stuck with the offensive side of the ball, adding Levy when he got hired? And is he finally putting his offensive coaching staff together?
No.
I don't necessarily know that it's that. I don't know that Oklahoma was stuck when Levy was hired or BV had to show lenience and deference to Levy with offensive staff hires at the time. I don't think that's what it is. But, obviously, Oklahoma got to the point where they had to move on from Joe John Finley. Jason Witten wanted to make the move to the college ranks. His son really liked Oklahoma. He'd been up to Oklahoma on several occasions. DeMarco Murray was here. It just so happened to work out. Boom. And that could have and probably should have been the only move of the offseason on the offensive staffing end of things. But then DeMarco Murray decides it's the right time to make the move to Kansas City, time to make the move to the NFL level. And all of a sudden you have another vacancy. And I think it says a lot for the program. I think it says a lot for Brent Venables and the vision of what he's cultivating at Oklahoma, that you can go and hire a guy like Dylan McCullough, who not only has been wildly successful in the college ranks as a coach, but has had two separate stints in the NFL ranks. And you're actually hiring him away from the NFL ranks. He's coming from the Las Vegas Raiders to Oklahoma. So this is, I would say, it might not register as such because it's not a coordinator hire. It's just a position coach hire. But I think in landing Jason Witten and in landing Dylan McCullough, Oklahoma made two of the splashiest staffing hires of the entire offseason in college football. I don't think that's an unfair assertion.
No, I think people are looking at Oklahoma differently as far as the program and where things are. We talked about this last week when I said, look, if you go out and you hire somebody big in this instance, or if you were able to hold on to DeMarco Murray, I think it shows that you're in a different level than you were previously under Brent Venables, right, as far as a view of the program. Well, I think the hiring of, you know, Lamar Morgan, I think the hiring of DeLand McCullough, as you put earlier, I think it shows everybody nationally that, like, Venables, Oklahoma, they're here to play ball. I think the Jim Nagy hire, you know, some people still, there's still fans out there that have this thing and they believe Nagy isn't that great and all that. I would disagree because there's a lot of people within the world of college football that think Oklahoma and the way that they're running things is probably the best as far as longevity and what they're doing. And he set that whole thing up for Oklahoma, everything, and helped Oklahoma move into that NFL model that could be more so a strength of Oklahoma scouting, finding guys that fit, getting that front office and spending the money to do so. I think the second that happened, the second Oklahoma made the playoffs and then they were able to go fill in big, big voids, whether it be, you know, the loss of Vali, whether it be the loss of DeMarco Murray, with the DeLon McCullough, with a Lamar Morgan, I think everybody now views Oklahoma as, look, like they're back to the Oklahoma that we're used to seeing. You look at this coaching staff, Parker, it is on paper. I still cannot, like, I'm trying to go back. Was it the 2021 staff, 2020 staff, maybe the best on paper staff that Oklahoma had since this coming year?
I would go back even further because that staff had Alex Grinch and Roy Manning on it.
That's fair. But Roy Manning as a deep, he was out of position, but as a defensive
end, he was
outside linebacker fault. Coach, he's elite at that. We know that. I'll give you the Grinch. I'll give you the Grinch stuff. But would it be 2009? 2010, maybe?
It'd probably be, yeah, sometime in the middle years of the Bob Stoops regime.
I mean, he had Jerry Montgomery as your D-line coach in 2013. That was pretty elite. I'm not going to lie, that was pretty freaking elite. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I can't remember. Like, somebody, maybe the chat will have a better grasp of the overall staffing, because I think it may be 2013. I mean, you had Mike Stoops, but that was the Mike. But remember, that was the Mike Stoops part where they were playing good defense. 2013, 2014, 2015, like they played good defense during that portion of Mike Stoops. It was 2016, 2017, 2018, or 2016, 2017 that just went. And then half of 2018 just crashed. It's crashed. Were you around for that last interview with Mike Stoops post Red River?
I was not.
Oh, that might have been the most uncomfortable post game interview I've ever been a part of, because everybody knew they had a bye and it was not going to be pretty. The days fall, and it was like the very next day it was done.
The Grim Reaper.
I think it was that night, actually.
No, it was the day after.
Well, we heard buzz that night though that it was
okay. Different. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It was. Anyways, go ahead.
Of course, you learn the stories afterward of him getting into it with Buzzy Bolton at halftime. And
oh yeah, they had to go find Buzzy. Yeah.
It was doomed.
That was weird.
It was doomed at that point. Here's my question. And you know what? I'll probably rehash this on the radio tomorrow because I really am curious what the consensus opinion is. When you look at this Oklahoma staff right now, in your opinion, I'm posing this question to anyone and everyone watching or listening right now.
Okay.
In your opinion, who slash what is the biggest weakness on Oklahoma's coaching staff?
Oh, there's zero chance I'm going to say
Well,
that
I'm asking the listener more than you,
publicly.
but like because there are many across the fan base that have been at war with Joe John Finley and or at war with DeMarco Murray over the last couple of years. Jay Valai, not as much. I think there was a lot of respect for the work that Jay Valai did, but Joe John Finley and DeMarco Murray were popular targets. Well, Joe John Finley and DeMarco Murray are no longer employed by the University of Oklahoma. So, who's your beef with now?
Oh, I already know. This is the easy one for everybody. I know who the beef. I think this coach is elite. I think his resume and what he's done while at Oklahoma has been
I
elite.
think we'll get a few different answers.
You
I
think?
do suspect we'll get a few different answers. Yeah.
I think right now it will be Bill Beamo just because he's the last one. He's the last Riley left over. Two, the offensive line, the injuries, everything that's happened. Like, people are going to blame Bill Beanbow for a lot of the things, and I think you have to look at the injuries more so than anything else. But they're also going to say, well, then he should have had more depth. He should have recruited better to make the depth better, right? Like, I think that's fair. But at the same time, like, the amount of injuries that the offensive line's had over the last, nobody, I you won't find any other place in the country that's gone through what Bill Beatonbow's gone through. And I think finally in 2025, you started to see they were young, right? Super young, super inexperienced, but you started to see that growth, that change, right? To the offensive line getting back to the way it used to be. I suspect that the year one, year two jump, right? You got EPL, Foje, Fasusi, Parker. I just think that you added Marion Harris, right? You return Jake Mikula. I think that offensive line has a chance to be one of the best O lines in the SEC. And you're going to see Bill Beatonbow be Bill Beatonbow again in a lot of people's eyes. But I think right now, offseason, do you not think? What is the chat saying?
The chat has come up with three different
Oh yeah,
answers.
the other one. Yeah, the other one would be EJ.
Bill
Yeah, that
Beatonbow,
makes
Emmett
sense.
Jones, Ben Arbuckle. You know what the
How
common
can
denominator
you?
between those three is?
Their offense.
They're all on the offensive side of the football. Nobody has beef with anything that's going on the defensive side of the ball.
Shocker. No, I just. How can you get after Buck after
Oh, I
one
mean, listen,
season?
I yeah, we could I don't feel the need
Remember
to
how
get
bad the
after
offense was
Emmett
before he got
Jones
there?
or Buck. Like, and here's the thing about those three. Here's the thing about those three. If those guys are the ones that are in the crosshairs moving into 2026, they're in pretty good position to be able to silence the doubters and the critics. Because Ben Arbuckle has his guy, John Mateer, coming back for a fifth season in college football. Emmett
Tomatoes being
Jones.
thrown at you with that one, though, by the way.
That's fine. Like John Mateer, if he is who he is and he's not a top five quarterback in college football, I think he's certainly going to be a top 10 guy in 2026. We've seen what he's capable of when healthy. Just got to see it a little more consistently, and it's really hard to know how much of his inconsistencies down the stretch in 2025 were injury related versus how much were just, him kind of bumping up against his natural ceiling as a quarterback. We don't know. We'll find out. But Ben Arbuckle is rolling with a guy in 2026 that played really good football at times last season and is entering his fourth year in the system. Emmett Jones has a room that is chock full of talent and depth, two outstanding transfers in Trell Harris and Parker Livingston to pair with an almost 1,000-yard guy a year ago. And Isaiah Satania wrapped up the season with 965 receiving yards. And Bill Beatonbow's got his most talented offensive line in at least 5 years, probably longer. So All three of those guys have every opportunity heading into the season ahead to silence the critics. And if they don't, then there needs to be a reckoning, no doubt. And there will be. But would I bet on each of those guys heading into 26? You bet I would. With the guys that they're going to have at their disposal? Yeah, I would bet on each of those three guys.
Yeah, I just totally, I agree with the Buck thing. I just, 1 year, and I just look at where the offense was when he arrived. And I've talked to people that were around that, and they said what he did in changing the mentality of the offense and changing the confidence of the offense in that short period of time. It was within like a six, seven months time. He changed it. Was pretty remarkable to go from what it was in 2024 to what it was in 2025. Sure, there were issues in 25. Granted, those issues were more to do with inexperience in a brand new offense all at once. Oh, and by the way, playing one of the tougher SEC schedules that you will face ever. On top of that, I think you can compare last year and this year. OU just kind of has gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to the SEC schedule. That's fine. One of these days, it's going to work in their favor. It will. Just not in 25 and 26. Or in 2024, but he wasn't there. I just think that all that combination plus having John Material, as you said, play with – he couldn't grip the ball, Parker, hardly at all. Like, he was playing through an injury where he struggled to grip the ball, which means his accuracy was going to be off. I don't know. And then – I get the EJ stuff, but at the same time, it's like Bill Beanbo. Like, how many injuries can you have in that room? 2024 was maybe the worst we'd ever seen. Your top six are out, like just gone for the season. Gone. Deion Burks was in and out, but do you really count that, Parker? I don't. He was essentially non-existent because he would come back and then something else, he would re-injure something that was already injured, and then he'd be out again. And so – I think this past season, he created – Isaiah Satania went from being a 400-yard receiver to essentially a 1,000-yard receiver and a first-team All-SEC receiver. Does he not get credit for that? There's got to be some credit with EJ, right? Like, I think Emmett Jones helped develop that. So, I don't know. I get it. I get where the fans are coming from because they want to see more production. But as you said, I think the production is going to be – this year is where you're really going to start seeing things turn in a very positive direction for OU offensively. Is there any other Super Chats?
There are none. I believe we're caught up.
We're caught up? Yeah. I don't want to run out of – like, the coaching staffs are out. Like, they're doing things right now, but they're in and out of the offices. They're spending time with the family quite a bit right now. They're taking advantage of the February, and they should. I know there's people that are out of the country right now as well on staff. So with that being said, I don't want to just splurge into all the content that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about positions moving forward on podcasts. We're going to break down the positions, the expectations, the position battles, all that type of stuff heading into the spring. Like, that's what we're going to start going with. And then we got 7-on-7s coming up. We got camps. Like, it's going to start getting where a lot of content, where we're going to start doing a lot more podcasts. This month is one of those months where everybody's down. We're going to take a step back if they're taking a step back, and then we're going to rock and roll because it's going to get fun. There is a lot. March, April, May, June is some of the funnest times to be on OU Insider. Some of the funnest times you can be on this podcasting platform, whatever, YouTube, whether you're listening to us on Apple, Spotify, whatever. Like, this is where it's at. Like, March, April, May, June, it picks up substantially. Camps, 7-on-7s, official visits, unofficial visits, junior days, spring practice, spring football. Like, man, it gets fun. It gets fun over the next few months. Just this month is just one of those where it kind of came to a complete halt, Parker. Like, it was like raring and going and going and going. It was like, stop. But it's going to be one of the shorter lulls. Remember back in the day where it'd be like February and the majority of March, it'd be like, God dang, man, it just lags forever where there's nothing going on. That's not going to happen. The first weekend of March is the biggest junior day OU might have ever as far as what's going to be in town. So, and oh, on top of that, Rivals camps that weekend. Oh, on top of that, Battle Houston's that weekend. There's just a little bit going on that weekend, Parker. A little bit. So it's going to get fun. We hope you guys stick with us on here. But that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Advisor YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. Again, if you're not subscribed on here, subscribe. It's free. Helps us a ton if you subscribe. Helps if you watch. Does all that type of stuff. It helps us. Helps us go to all these events for you guys, to get in front of all these recruits for you guys, get all the content for you guys. Plus, if you go over there, if you really want to support us and really want to help us with the travel, really want to help us get the content, the information for you guys, continue to build a really good podcast, really good site for you guys, go over to OUinsider.com. All you have to do is type that in your URL code, click the join now for $1, get you through the door, and you can get all the content. There's a ton of content on there right now, whether they're talking running back coach, softball, baseball, basketball, recruiting, spring talk. I got a mailbag coming tomorrow, so there's a lot to do, lots to talk about over there. Parker, we have a lot of stuff, interviews, everything. It's over there on OUinsider.com. So join now, $1 gets you through the door. All right, for Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.